It's election day in the UK. Polls close at 10 tonight, local time. Then ballots will be counted by hand, so results probably won't come in until tomorrow morning, UK time at the earliest. But some are already predicting a hung parliament. Now, remember, in the UK, this is a parliamentary election. No party securing a majority of the votes would mean things might drag on. NPR's Ari Shapiro is in London. He's been at polling places today. So, Ari, first of all, what's the mood out there?
The mood is almost one of relief. People in the UK don't really know how good they have it. They're exhausted after 5 weeks of campaigning. Of course, in the US, we have kind of a never-ending campaign. But even over the last year, the polls haven't really budged much. The parties haven't really taken surprising positions. They've sort of run towards the middle. And so it's almost been a paradox with a really dull campaign that has led to a really exciting conclusion where nobody really knows what's going to happen. So people are eager to cast their votes and eager to see what the outcome is, but they're also sort of relieved to have this behind them, I think.
Well, let's take a listen, because you've talked to people out at the polls, and much like the U.S., there are two major parties, one seen as more conservative than the other. Here's Eric Selsden from Rumford in Essex, who said he was voting for Ed Miliband's Labour Party.
Because they've got a social conscience, and the other main party, the Tories, haven't. It's as simple as that. If you're a working class man or anything like that, the only way to go is Labour.
Then you also spoke to Daniel Lysett, who voted for the Tory party, seen as the more conservative party, and Prime Minister David Cameron's party. He said he voted for the party to give Cameron more time in office to accomplish more things.
I think we suffer in this country, as you do in America, obviously, where it's like everything goes one way, and it might stay that way for a term or two, and then everything goes the other way, and you don't really achieve very much you do, but it all gets dissipated every time it changes.
So, Ari, we hear that tension between the Labour Party and the Tory party, seen as the more conservative party, just to distinguish. Is that where we're at the end here?
Typically, in an ordinary election, it would be. You'd have Labour versus Conservative, and one party would get a clear majority, and they would form a government. This election is way more complicated than that, and for that reason, way more exciting. Labour and Tories are basically tied going into this election, but they're not tied at 50%. They're tied with around a third of the vote each, and much smaller parties are taking a much bigger chunk of the vote than they ever have in the past. And what that means, as you said at the very beginning, is that we are not likely to see either Labour or Conservatives emerge with a clear majority. They're probably going to have to join forces with one of these smaller fringe parties to cobble together a government. That could take days or potentially even weeks, even after all the votes are counted.
And are these parties different versions of the major parties? In other words, parties that lean more to the left, lean more to the right?
While the major parties are relatively centrist, these fringe parties are, as the term suggests, on the fringes. So the party that is expected to come in third, a really surprising success story, is the Scottish Nationalists, the SNP, who, after losing their independence vote for Scotland to break away from the UK last year, came roaring back, quadrupled their membership, basically wiping out the Labour Party in Scotland. And so if Labour doesn't do well enough to cobble together a government, they might have to join forces with the SNP, even though Labour leader Ed Miliband insists that he is not going to. That could be really interesting, because the SNP is committed to undoing austerity and getting rid of Britain's nuclear weapons program. On the other side, on the far right, you have a party called UKIP, the UK Independence Party, which wants the United Kingdom to leave the European Union, to stop immigration. Much more extreme positions than the Conservatives would take, but the Conservatives could plausibly have to join forces with UKIP in order to make a government.
Although you tell us that UKIP had less of an impact than people thought it might.
It's especially interesting when you look all across Europe, where you see the rise of these far-right anti-immigrant parties. UKIP has certainly come to the fore in the last few years, more than, say, a decade ago. But I think a lot of journalists and analysts expected that the big story this election would be the rise of UKIP. And in fact, UKIP, at least according to polls, looks like it's going to kind of underperform expectations. And instead, the really successful fringe party this time around appears to be the Scottish Nationalists, who are far to the left.
Huh. Well, we will watch with you as results come in, and that could take a while. NPR's Ari Shapiro in London. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Robin.